Hello and welcome back to the Parkinson's Road podcast for part three of my interview with Doug Picard. In this episode, Doug shares how he came to be an ambassador for the Davis Finney Foundation and offers some great advice for other fitness professionals that may work with people with Parkinson's. And make sure you listen right to the very end to hear about an exciting project that I've been a part of. So you're involved in you do Rock City Boxing, you do all this exercise, like you teach all this fitness stuff to people with Parkinson's, and then you also facilitate the support group.
Yeah.
And now you are one of the two, is it just the two of you that are ambassadors?
Right.
For the Davis Finney Foundation.
Yeah, that's a recent thing that's happened.
Yeah. I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
And why don't you tell us about the Davis Finney Foundation and what their mandate is?
Well, what... like yourself, because I searched out every foundation that's out there, and we worked a lot with our BC Parkinson Society, who we do the super walk with and whatnot, and they've been so wonderful to me. And it just happened that I signed up for emails from the Davis Finney Foundation, and one day I noticed that they were looking for ambassadors, and I thought, well, what's this all about? I was a bit familiar with the ambassador program, but I wanted to see what it was all about, so... I went online and I realized what they were looking for are people in different communities throughout North America that can kind of be a person, kind of a go-to person for someone who's particularly newly diagnosed. And everybody has their different areas of expertise. So I signed up for it, and a few months later I was shortlisted and going to the interviews and a Zoom interview just like this. I didn't figure out how to work my camera, so I was in the dark. We couldn't see each other. But yeah. Then I was happily accepted to be one in Canada. The other one is Joe Vancouverden. His son, Adam Vancouverden, was an Olympic canoeist back
yes,
in...
Yes, okay, yeah.
So his dad, who has Parkinson's. I don't have Parkinson's. I'm one of a small majority of ambassadors who don't have Parkinson's, but they felt that with the... Like, it's kind of an accumulation of all the work that I've done for the last 13 years. Yeah. I finally felt like I wouldn't have even thought of doing this 10 years ago, but I feel like I know enough now, and I have such a wonderful connection with my Parkinson community here.
Yeah.
I thought, why not go for it? So what I love about the Davis Finney Foundation is they're not just based on research. Now, obviously, finding a cure is number one. It's the most important thing.
Right.
But we also have to live with this disease right now.
Yeah.
And people have to live their best lives. That's always been their mandate, is what can we do to help people live the best life they can with Parkinson's? That was always exactly my same feelings as well. So I felt like I had that connection with their mandate, or I guess their mission statement, right away. So I was really attracted to that, and I thought, well, good for them. Instead of just trying to find a research, I mean, they do work towards that as well. But if you go on their website, it's just phenomenal the amount of information that is available for people with Parkinson's. And they also put out a book every year called Every Victory Counts.
Right.
It's a thick manual.
Yes.
It takes a while to work through.
It's an excellent book.
It's an excellent book, and they do update it every year. Unfortunately, recently lost. They couldn't get the funding this year to help pay for the printing, so it's become a little bit more difficult to get your hands on.
Okay. But
luckily, as an ambassador, I'm kind of privy to a lot of this promotional material that they send to me, and I can hand out to people, which is one of the reasons. Another one of the reasons I wanted to do it, because there's, like I say, I'm the one of two Canadian ambassadors, so I thought, we can get more people on this side of the border connected with the foundation, then we should have access to their information, and I can pass that out to people that I know, which I think is great. So some of the functions that I'll do as an ambassador, like you said, is to, like I said earlier, is to be kind of a go-to for someone who's newly diagnosed. Doctors are busy. Not every doctor knows as much as others about Parkinson's. GPs, I mean, neurologists, it takes a while, as you probably know, to have an appointment to see a neurologist. And so it's just nice to have someone that you can phone or email. And I was so excited the other day, I had my first contact from someone who I'd never met over in the Lower Mainland. And they said they were newly diagnosed and they wanted to know more about exercise.
Yeah.
Because exercise and music are kind of my specialties that I have on the website.
Yeah.
So it was nice to talk to this fellow in Vancouver. And I hope to see more of that. Everything's just a little bit crazy right now with what's going on, and I can't wait to get past this and get back to normal life so we can get back to helping people.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that I'll do things like health fairs, for instance. They provide me with all the materials to go to a health fair,
right.
Talk about Parkinson's and the Davis Finney Foundation. And there, it's just a great organization that is using ambassadors like myself plunked down in all these different communities to do their work, essentially, is what it is. So we're just kind of spreading the help around. And they're really open to working with other organizations. And, you know, I made them aware of the fact that I work with the BC Parkinson's Society. And they said, great, this is just an extension of that. We're all fighting the same fight.
That's how I see it. Yeah.
So I'm really happy that's their opinion on that, to work with other organizations. But so it's been, yeah. So it's only been about 5 months, and we got kind of sidetracked now with this pandemic, and but it's been a great organization. Talk about incredibly organized. The information they've sent me so far, and we do is once a month Zoom meeting, and sometimes twice a month. And the big plan is for all of us to meet up in Colorado in July. I'm hoping that can still happen, and have all the different ambassadors come together for this weekend in Colorado, which is where the Davis Finney Foundation is based out of.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that can still happen, but it's just, but it's also the relationships I've developed with the other ambassadors so far. I met a gal in Bellingham, Washington, who also shares my love for drumming, and together we're going to work on this program. And she actually phoned the guy who did the study at Johns Hopkins. She actually phoned him up and wanted to know more about it. Like, she's that kind of gal. She's just took the bull by the horn and said, well, I want to meet this guy. So nice. Hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to the fellow who did the big research study myself. So I'm meeting all these people all over the states, and it just gets you excited and you see all the incredible work that people are doing, and it's just like being part of a big family. It's really great.
So to those people who are listening, if they are someone who's maybe just newly been diagnosed, and sometimes what happens is you're diagnosed by a regular neurologist and they refer you on to a movement disorder specialist to have that confirmed, but there's oftentimes a waiting period. So would you say that the Davis Finney Foundation is a good resource for people to go to if they're maybe in that gap, just to start the process? Like,
that's absolutely.
So they should, you know, you can go and visit the Davis Finney Foundation website, and I'll post the link in the comments, and look for an ambassador that's in your area. There's ambassadors all over the United States. There's only two in Canada, and there's basically you're here on the West Coast, and the other fellow is located in Ontario, correct?
Correct. Yes.
But I mean, that doesn't mean that if you are someone, for example, who lives in Canada, you can't contact the Davis Finney Foundation directly.
No, absolutely.
Or if you're someone who's in like Manitoba, you could always contact Doug here in British Columbia, and he would be able to put you in touch with resources that would be in your area.
That's exactly the idea behind it. And the Every Victory Count manual is available as a download online for free on their website.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah.
So you can see everything in the manual. It's, you know, it's a better way if you want to learn about the disease than going on to Google and just, you know, you get worst case scenarios and all kinds of stuff. You're better off to go onto the website, look up the Every Victory Counts, and it's got everything laid out. It's a wonderful book.
I think if you look on Google, sometimes you just get the clinical information. Whereas when you get a manual, something like Every Victory Counts, you know, yes, they do talk about the disease process, but they temper that with things that you can do to help mitigate that, right?
Exactly.
So,
right.
You know, you got to take it. There is a negative, but they deliver some of the positives with it too. So I think that you're absolutely correct. Reading a book that's designed to help people get started is probably a good place to start. So that's really good. That's good to know that you can download their manual on their website.
Absolutely. And one little side note, you asked me why I got involved with them. I've always been a big fan of Davis Finney. And I'm not sure, because I've always really loved cycling. And Davis Finney was a professional cyclist. Mm-hmm. He was in the Tour de France. So I always really admired, I knew about him before he had Parkinson's, but I thought, so he's very much like Michael J. Fox. So there's an actual person behind the foundation. that was afflicted and with the disease and decided to do something about it. So I've always really admired his, you know, his the way he took this on and created something that's really been helpful. And I'm really hoping I get to meet him in Colorado in July.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it would be.
And the Davis Finney Foundation is also is another foundation that advocates fitness and exercise as
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have quite a few. In fact, in this day and age, right now, it's go on the website. There's all kinds of exercise videos on there, which is really helpful. So they've been behind because of Davis's background, and they do. He's always been very pro fitness, and they also do some fundraising bike trips and bike races and different things like that. Even virtual ones. They have a thing called Sufferfest. And you're supposed to, so you'd be on your bike at home and, you'd have like 15 days to try to complete all these miles and stuff. And it was really cute. Yeah. I think it was called Sufferlandia. Oh, I can't remember. It was Suffer in there somewhere, but it looked kind of appealing. I thought, oh, that's great.
Do you still cycle?
Yeah, very focused on. Pardon me?
Do you still cycle?
I do. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I had to stop because I started falling off my bike.
Well, they do have big training wheels you can put on, you know.
Yeah, I should get a three wheel. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, I mean, that's really good information to know. So before we sign off, I wanted to ask you, what tips or advice do you have for people who may work with people with Parkinson's, like trainers or a therapist or, you know, like, is there anything, any advice that you have?
Yeah. Don't be afraid to try things, like don't be scared of the disease. Mm-hmm. Treat them like people first and foremost. Yeah. Realize that they're going to have perhaps difficulty with certain things, but don't be afraid to try new things as well. You know, and also really research the disease. Mm-hmm. Find out the motor symptoms and the non-motor symptoms. So motor symptoms effectively is everything to do with the movement. And there's a lot. I mean, but Parkinson's is more than just a motor disease. There's lots of cognitive challenges with lots of people as well.
Yeah,
you have to factor in. You've got to realize that that apathy and depression are prevalent with a lot of people with Parkinson's. So you may be given your best effort to try to motivate somebody. It might not be their day, and you have to accept that. Every day looks different for someone with Parkinson's. I don't have the disease, so I can't speak from a, you know, first person point of view, but I know that some days it's like, I think of one lady in particular who is just, she's my hero, and she struggles, and the meds weren't working for her, and she became very old very quickly.
Yeah.
And she hated it. And she came in and she was so determined, and she's always loved drumming. She comes to my drumming classes now. So I really love her. But this lovely lady, she came in and it was just like she changed overnight. But she said, I'm going to the doctor. We're going to get this looked at. And I was really scared. I thought nothing's going to change. This is the start of a decline. She came back a few weeks later. She was like a new person. Her meds were adjusted. They found the right balance.
Yeah.
And she had a big, big grin on her face. And she was moving and hitting those bags. And it was amazing. And she has not looked back. For whatever reason, she found the right balance, which doesn't always happen, but with her it did.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting to see. So she bounced back and I think keeping a positive attitude also all the time and laugh. Don't be afraid to joke. They're people. They're not, having Parkinson's doesn't mean you can't have fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we have so much fun. I miss the laughter. I miss the jokes that we have. Yeah. Between myself and the volunteers and everybody, it's a crucial, crucial part of the program.
It is.
And I know it's really hard for them right now because we don't have that. And it's, I try to be funny in my videos, but it's not the same way, right?
Yeah.
You know, but so don't treat them with kid gloves.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's good advice. I like what you said about, don't be afraid to try new things. And
They're not going to break. Parkinson's doesn't mean you're fragile. You're not going to break.
That's right. And so then, what advice would you have for people who are maybe like spouses or loved ones or, you know, family members to people with Parkinson's? Do you have any advice for them?
Be patient. Don't, it's really difficult. Push them. Get them out the door.
Yeah.
Don't let them feel sorry for themselves.
Yes.
Because they've got Parkinson's. Okay, they've got it.
Yeah.
Now what are they going to do about it?
Yeah.
But also be kind, but be strong, I would say. Like, you know, but also have patience and understand that you're not going through what they're going through. Also allow for the fact that they're going to feel guilty. They're going to feel like they're putting you through hell. And I can't tell you how many times I've had a conversation with someone crying on my shoulder saying, I just can't believe that she has to put up with all this now. And I always say the same thing. I said, what if it was reversed? You would do the exact same thing for them.
Yeah.
Don't feel guilty. You didn't want this. You didn't ask for this disease. Yeah. You got it. So just do everything you can. And find ways to give that person a break too, which is another reason to come to a Rocksteady boxing class. It gives your partner a break.
Yeah.
And we try to get together for social times as well. But those are the main things I think I would say. That kind of advice. And stop
really
telling
advice.
Them to speak up. Because they think they are.
Listen harder.
Yeah. But it's okay to get frustrated. That's why they have caregiver groups, support groups now. It's really important to get together with other people who are caregivers. Because, you know, this whole caregiver's burnout. It's the toughest job out
it
there.
It is. I can't imagine how hard it must be for some people.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And not everybody's meant to be a caregiver. You know, some people really suck at that job. Some people are like, you know, Nurse Nightingale, whatever they call it, right? Like they're just, and when I see those people, I think, oh, and I will say, you are one lucky guy. Look at your wife. And they all say the same thing. I know I'd be lost without her.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's amazing. You can tell the ones that take it on, but there's no shame in struggling with that too.
It's funny that you mention that, because in one of my online support groups, someone made a post about the fact that their partner was not a good caregiver, and they both recognized that. So together, they made a plan to have a caregiver come in, like a third, another person come in and
Wonderful.
Be a caregiver. And I thought, because most people would just be like, well, you should be doing this, you know, and there, it would cause a rift and cause a problem in a marriage. But they sat down and in a logical manner, figured out a solution to their problem. And
that's fabulous.
I thought that was just an amazing thing. So, you know, I think that's another option for people is if you recognize as a caregiver that you're maybe not able to do this, you're just not kind of for it, you don't think you're the right person, don't be afraid to ask for help. You know, to try to find help, but don't, I don't think that, you know, if you're not suited for that role, then don't try to force yourself to do it.
Yeah.
It's not going to make anybody's life better if you're both miserable.
No. And I think like every chronic illness, it isn't just a person who gets it that has the disease. It's both people, right?
It's the family.
Changes family. Oh, that's good. Now that's the person that I would love to have and come and talk with a caregivers group and talk about how they problems. That's amazing.
Yeah. They don't live here.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah. Well, you could say, I could ask her to maybe type something out or something. Or
I mean, it's a great conversation to get started.
Yeah.
Strategies. It's wonderful.
And the the second to last thing I'm going to ask is, what advice do you have for people with Parkinson's? It could be about anything.
Oh, boy. Yes. Parkinson's is not a death sentence, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I know people that I've known for 12 years that haven't really changed a lot. They've worked hard.
Yes.
And they've maintained a zest for life, and they're doing great. Everybody is different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's different. There's no one path. That's the biggest thing people need to know. So you've got to you got to come up with a plan. How are you going to fight this disease?
Right.
And it's got to be a way that you enjoy and that you're able to do. You've got to create your team, which is maybe your family or, like you say, other people that are important. You've got to create your strategies, and those are the main things. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let Parkinson's define who you are.
Yeah.
I forget about my fighters that they have Parkinson's. They just become Ken or Bob or George or Harry. I don't think about Parkinson's anymore. I try not to, and that's what I want to have happen when they come to class, to forget about it. So just live your life, enjoy your life, and don't let Parkinson's be an excuse to not enjoy your life to the fullest.
Yeah, that's great advice. And is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you?
You didn't ask my sign. I'm a Scorpio.
Yeah.
I like long walks on the beach. No, I think that's, I think you covered lots of it. It's been a journey for me.
Yeah.
People always ask me why Parkinson's disease. And I think it goes back to that first person I met, Donna, who I just fell in love with. And then I fell in love with everybody else I met because I had never met a group of people who were more determined and hadn't lost that joy for life. And they inspire me. They still inspire me. There's days I feel sorry for myself and say, give yourself a, you know, shake your head. Like, come on, look at what these people are dealing with. I don't have to take medication all day long. And if I don't take this medication, you know, I'm going to be sitting on my couch unable to move some days.
Yeah.
I don't have any of that, you know. So they inspire me. They motivate me to try to be a better person. And I try to do everything I can to find ways to make their lives more meaningful and enjoyable. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, you've definitely done that. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, you facilitate the group in Parksville. I don't know of any other support group that a person without Parkinson's runs. I've never heard of that before. I just think that's amazing. And I can't believe how lucky, you know, that community is to have you. And with everything that you've done, all the research that you've done, all these certifications that you've taken and all this work that you've put into educating yourself and just helping everybody. I mean, just, well, it's incredible. You. Yeah. And yeah.
I think we all have a commitment to serve.
Yes.
I think it makes our society better. And for whatever reason, I've chosen Parkinson's as my area to serve. And thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, but it's really a labor of love for me. I'm very passionate about it and doesn't feel like work to me at all. And so I'm happy to be in this position to be able to try to help people. And I've made a lot of friends.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, thank you very much for being on the show, and I appreciate you taking the time out to talk with me and tell me about everything that you're doing. And I appreciate everything that you do for our community, the Parkinson's community here in the Central Vancouver Island area. Yeah. And I miss our classes.
Yeah. You're one of those people that inspire me. I was blown away by your video that I saw the other day. I had no idea how hard you had worked and so you're an example of someone who I really admire, who is faced with this horrible news from their doctor and you decided to just go for it and fight against it. And I think you're flourishing. I think you're doing really well. And I really love your podcast and I hope you continue to grow it and your people continue to get some help and some comfort from it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, thanks a lot. And if anybody has any questions or wants to get a hold of Doug or has any questions about the programs that he's talked about, I will put a link to his ambassador profile at the Davis Finney Foundation, and you can contact Doug directly. And just to, you know, go over, Doug runs the Fluid Fitness Gym in Parksville. And if you live in the Central Vancouver Island area and you are interested in taking one of his classes, you can contact him directly. And I'll put the contact, I'm not going to read the phone number out because I don't think people will write it down. So I'll put the contact information in the description of this podcast. And yeah, it was great to talk to you. I mean, I've missed our classes. So it's nice to have a visit. And thanks for being on the show. Hey guys, it's me, the shaky lifter. Well, that's my hashtag on Instagram anyway. As you probably already know, I am passionate about fitness, and it's my goal to help other people with Parkinson's to realize that in order to live the best possible life with Parkinson's disease, exercise needs to be a part of it. I recently had the chance to be involved in a project called The Parkinson's Secrets for Living Successfully. Initiated by Christine Jaya, this is a two-part video series where 13 people from around the world share their individual stories to encourage other people to exercise to combat Parkinson's disease. Our lives have been changed for the better, and yours can be too. I will post the links in the description. Thank you for listening to the Parkinson's Road podcast. If you like this show, please click on the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode with me, your host, Tanya. I want to thank Doug for being on the show. And Doug, if you're listening, the passion you have for helping people in the Parkinson's community to live happier lives is inspiring. I want to thank you for your funny jokes and encouraging words. Thank you for believing in us so that we can believe in ourselves. Thank you for making this journey down the Parkinson's road just that much brighter for us all. Before I go, let me leave you with this parting thought. When you do nothing, you feel overwhelmed and powerless. But when you get involved, you feel the sense of hope and accomplishment that comes from knowing you are working to make things better. Until next time.